Boys are boys from the beginning. If you were born a boy, you stay a boy. Girls are girls right from the start. If you were born a girl, you stay a girl and grow up to be a lady. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Only girls can be the mommies. Only boys can be the daddies. Yes, sir.
Everybody. Do you understand this is about your future?
The very word secrecy is repugnant. In a free and open society,
things happen more often.
Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, far beyond all you can ever
Ladies, gentlemen, welcome back to Black and Blurred.
Hi.
That's Darren.
It's me.
I'm Brandon. Guys, it's been a while since we've addressed some real-time cultural stuff, so
yeah,
I think we need to do that, right?
I do not envy the YouTubers that be pumping out 4 videos a day. Yeah, they gotta be first to the to the story. That's not what we do.
I mean, that's the game, though.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
That's the game. You gotta be first. You can't.
I mean, then again, that's their livelihood.
It is. It is. They have to. I mean, no, I think there are some who are actually pretty good at not limiting all of your content to the thing that just happened. What do you mean is one of them. What do you mean?
Oh, I'm not talking about them.
I mean,
I'm not talking about the Christian YouTubers. They do that. Most credible Christian YouTubers. Well, wait. You know what I mean? They wait, or they take their content.
What do you mean by credible Christian?
Not Brandon Tatum. He thinks he's a Christian.
Oh, I see. I got you.
Like these guys who genuinely are patient with the stories they tell.
Yeah.
And then they give a well thought biblical interpretation of their, you know, what they're thinking or whatever the story.
Who are you thinking of besides What Do You Mean?
I would say. What's his name? Alan Parr.
Yeah, absolutely. Alan Parr. Most certainly.
Alan Parr. That's I would also say Warrior Poet.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if our listeners know about Warrior Poet.
Yeah,
maybe some people do.
He's a different market. He has a different market. He has like this comedy conservative Christian channel. It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, people will be introduced to him a little bit later in this episode. But, yeah, so, I mean, but the reason you brought that up is because the things that we're talking about today might seem old.
Yeah, as far as the news cycle goes.
Yeah, I know, because things happen so quickly and you're swirling in terrible news.
Yeah, I know.
In terrible news, but we want to address it. We want to address...
Yeah, Lamar ain't been paid yet. I mean, what are we going to do?
Oh, man. Lamar's as good as gone. Sorry for those who aren't football fans. We're just mourning.
But the Ravens are good as gone.
That's what I mean. We're mourning. The same thing we're seeing in our society has happened to our organization. Just not as terrible. But this new age of thought and practice is cancerous.
Right.
It's a privation. In a good society. So this is what we want to address. We want to address the Nashville shooting. Needs to be addressed. We want to address the way it's been addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. For those who are familiar with Rosaria Butterfield, she's an author. She's a professor. She's a believer. She's a former identifier as lesbian. And there's some interesting... She made a very interesting statement recently. That we want to address. We're also going to address LSU in Iowa. When was that? 2 weeks ago? Was that last week? Was that this week?
2 weeks ago. Yeah, that was last week.
Oh, yeah. It's so quickly.
Time is moving.
Women's basketball. It was actually the most watched women's game or women's collegiate game of all time.
I bet on both, actually.
That's true. That's true. That's a good point.
The WNBA doesn't get watched. College basketball would.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. There are a lot of people who don't watch NBA.
Y'all know. For good reason.
Yeah, right.
It's no longer entertainment.
Yeah, right, right, right. Yeah. It is. It is. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that because there was a bunch of, you know, white people, black people talk around that, too. And then we're going to talk about good old Donald Trump. The gift that keeps on giving. With Donald Trump and I was about to say that I think that people hate him more than people love him, but I think that there's actually it's one coin and on two sides you got the people who hate him with every fiber of their being and you have people who love him with every fiber of their being.
Yeah.
And they're siblings and they don't know it.
I know.
They're siblings and they don't know it. But we're going to talk about those things and then talk about how we should be thinking about that outside of how you feel about Donald Trump. How should we be thinking about the fact that our government is operating this way and has been for a little bit of time now. And we only are up in arms when it's happening against our team. And that's not a good thing for us. So let's start from the top. Tragedy in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tragedy in Nashville, Tennessee. It's almost very surreal how often, and it's often, but how often people are going inside of a school and shooting children.
Yeah.
You know? Obviously it doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen, in the, I guess, classical sense of the word often.
Yeah.
But when we think about the fact that it's somebody going inside of a school and shooting children, it's often.
Yeah.
It's quite often. But this is a bit different. You know, each one ends up being a bit different somehow because we're familiar with what are, you know, mass shootings, even though that definition evades us. I don't know if there's actual one that's agreed upon.
Yeah, it's changed multiple times.
But what I do remember, and we've talked about on this podcast, the disgusting nature of utilizing these tragedies for political opportunity.
Right.
That just is always happening. It's always happening. And I'm trying to be charitable here, but I would say that it's probably 100% of the time coming from the left. Does that seem fair to say? Because I would say the equivalent, and this is in context. In context, guns, violence, a death.
Mm-hmm.
There is gun use to stop a suspect who plans to do evil far more often than there are somebody going into a school and killing children. And you won't hear about it.
No. I think there's a number that quotes like, you know, on the low end of 300,000 to 5 million lives per year saved by guns.
Yeah.
And it's the reason the gap is so huge is because you have people who actually use the firearm for defensive purposes, and then you have people who brandish a weapon or somebody who might just hear a weapon.
Yeah, right. And they leave.
Or somebody just yells, "I have a gun," and the crime stops.
Mm.
So it's hard to calculate how many lives are actually saved. That's why the number gap is so huge, but it's certainly larger than the number of people killed in mass shootings.
Have you had any conversations with like any other Christians about the Nashville thing specifically? I asked Darren that question for our listeners because we live in a place contextually where you can't have open conversation with people about stuff.
Yeah, you already answered it for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, genuinely, it's plaguing, really. But No. Because there was a twist to this. The twist is...
That's why it's so hands-off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The twist is that this was a woman who identified as a man. So she undoubtedly belongs to the precious class of untouchables. The victims, right? The perpetual victims, the transgender people. And why these things end up being so nefarious is because the opportunities that are taken advantage of are taken advantage in the name of human value, right? And so you have an actual tragedy, like this woman going inside of a school and shooting and killing six people. And then the opportunity is, oh, can we please, and we'll get to this, well, can we please do something about the guns? And that was used, right? What's her name? Jean-Pierre?
Yeah.
The first statement was, when will Republicans, you know, finally move their feet or do some action with gun reform? And though that's the typical opportunity. And we're so urgent. This is such an urgent thing because of, look at the human lives that were just lost, right? That's what we're getting. Look at the human lives that were just lost. We must do something now. But now, you know, we have to be careful to keep this in the spotlight, because if you keep bringing up the lives that were lost, you implicitly state the one who took them, mm-hmm. which was this woman who identified as a man. And that goes against the narrative.
Yeah.
And it shows that if the narrative is going to be harmed, that's what must be protected at all costs.
Of course.
Not people.
Yeah.
We must protect the narrative at all costs. To the very point, I went to sleep. I woke up. And trans people were marching, talking about being attacked.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I really missed why that happened. I thought maybe a trans person got hurt. But, I mean, I don't know. It was almost immediate.
Yeah.
The response was, see, this happened because we are attacked.
Yeah. And that was actually it, right? So yeah, people, by now, you know the story. This is a Christian school of which she was a former attender.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah, but still.
She was 28.
But a former attender. And the narrative says that she did that because, justifiably so,
mm-hmm.
she had anger mm-hmm. towards these people, and it led to her murder of them. Now, let's try and just recap some of the other tragic moments in our country. The first thing that came to mind was the spa. Or, I'm sorry, are we supposed to call it a spa? Whatever it was, where the Stop Asian Hate slogans came.
Mm-hmm.
I even got in an argument with a brother over this, because it seemed that people were thirsting for the opportunity to say the words white supremacy.
Yeah.
It's like it gives you an extra gasp of fresh air. white supremacy.
I'm never using that mic.
White supremacy. And it's like, where's this coming from?
Yeah.
And then not only was that the case, but people jumped on white supremacy after the murderer himself said why he did it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, nah, man, nah, that wasn't it. It was white supremacy. Because you'd be hating Asians and stuff like that. And not everybody he killed was Asian.
No.
But that was the narrative. The narrative was, this person who committed the murder is detestable and should be slandered and should not get the airtime that they need, and also is a white supremacist. And there is nothing that can justify his actions. Meanwhile, you come back to this in Nashville, and even Christians are talking about this, well, like, you know. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that they're going through. And I'm lost with words. lost four words, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, that's even draining to think about.
It is.
I don't even know how to process that.
How long have I been using this slogan, Christians who hate Christianity?
Since we moved on here.
It seems that way. I'm just trying to understand. Let's just go to the main narrative. The main narrative says that there actually is no remorse for these families.
Right.
There's no remorse for this family. Not only that, but even the Christian should be able to recognize that there's a family who just had a daughter, a niece, a granddaughter, a sister, a cousin, whatever, go into a school, kill children and adults, and get killed by police.
Yeah.
And we don't touch it at all. You can't even, like, the church can't even actually be the church in those moments because we have ceded that over to our Lord and Savior, the White House.
Yeah.
And so we can't even talk about it.
Well, let some black cops get killed by some white dudes in the church real quick.
Right. That's exactly right.
We'll have a whole
talk about it. That's exactly right. Yeah. You're exactly right. Only certain things. So let's, you know, some of the things. What's some of the typical things that come out? I mean, this is the opportunity, right? Every time lives are snatched, it's a perfect opportunity to make a political pitch for gun reform because that's all they care about.
And you know, like you already said it. I would play devil's advocate and say that there are some Republicans or conservatives, I'll say, that try to get ahead of the curve and try to. And what happens is they end up getting trapped in some of the leftists' verbiage.
Yeah, they'll say, you know what? Yeah, that's not charitable at all. It's not 100%.
They'll say, you know, hey, this trans person killed Christians. That's a hate crime.
Yeah, that's right? True. That's true.
That word means nothing. I would not see that word over to you. It means nothing.
It means nothing.
If you start saying everything's a hate crime, then now everything's hate speech, and now we can't speak, and now we can't. No, that's dumb. It's not a hate crime. It's murder.
That's a good point.
It's called terrorism.
Yeah.
We have a word for that in this country.
Yeah.
Terrorism.
Yeah.
This woman killed a bunch of people because of their religion. That's terrorism. She, you know.
Right.
It's terrorism. But you also get the whole, you know, some of the first information I saw about this was the type of guns that the girl had. I found out last that it was a trans man.
Trans
man.
It's a woman.
Right. But they call it trans.
I don't care.
That's what they said, though.
I know.
No, but I mean, I'm saying that's what I found out last. That this was a trans individual.
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't say a woman. No, they said trans person.
You know, there were some reports fresh. I'm talking about day of reports that she was being misgendered.
Unreal.
That was some reports. And guys, you know, I just want to let you know
stop. Let me finish.
Yeah, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I forgot to be right back on that soapbox.
I know, yo. I was so sick.
But anyway, you hear this, you know, the AR-15 style assault weapons. This girl had a Kel-Tec Sub 2000. If you don't know what that is, look it up. Kel-Tec Sub 2000. That is nowhere near an AR-15. It is Abby, if you're listening to this, you have this gun. And golly. I hate it.
But you know, you lost it that one time we went fishing too. So
nah, you got
R.I.P.
No, you got this one. It's trash. Sell it back. But yeah, I mean, it's not an AR-15 by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-mm. It's a 9mm pistol, is what it is. She had no AR-15. You know, once again, like you said, the narrative is what's most important.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. They will protect the narrative. And they got some little double entendres here with this narrative. So you got the trans person, protect that, but let's promote anti-Christian. Let's also promote taking away guns. Mm-hmm. And let's pretend that we care about people. That's the thing about conservative ideology and Christians, is that our worldview is consistent.
Mm-hmm. It ought to be.
We don't like people killing children in the womb or outside.
It
doesn't matter. Your location doesn't matter.
Uh-oh.
That's consistent. But the left will say, oh, those poor babies.
Yeah.
But not the poor babies. They out here marching to kill.
That's right. That's exactly right. Because they don't care about them.
No, they don't.
You know why they don't care about them? It's because they're actually controlled by the prince of the power of the air.
Right.
And so, therefore, they hate them. Mm-hmm. They hate anything good.
Yeah.
the principalities and the rulers and authorities. See, the Christians today, and obviously I'm oversimplification, super huge generalization, but Christians today have removed the supernatural reality from our faith.
Yeah.
We're about to celebrate a part of that supernatural reality, Jesus' resurrection.
Yeah.
This is recorded on Thursday, so happy post-resurrection for those listening to this now. but when you take the supernatural out of it, then you also take the supernatural influences of evil from it. This is pure evil. Transgenderism is a doctrine of demons. It's evil. It's completely evil. And what we have done is we have said, but those are our neighbors and we have to love our neighbors. I'm not even going to touch that right now. I'm going to get on that with Rosaria. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about a couple of things and then we can move on. And then maybe at the end of this, we'll run off some stats, stuff like that for Patreon and everybody else. So get on Patreon if you're not on Patreon. Hey, guys, also, can you take the time right now, actually? Pause right now. Whatever you're listening to this on, can you rate it? Can you rate us and leave a comment, please? It helps the podcast get seen. For those who have done it and have been doing it, thank you very much. Apple, Spotify, whatever, Listenify, Earpodify, whatever. Anything you're listening to, we're on it. So please rate us right now and comment on the podcast. You can rate any type of way, be honest, but we would appreciate a high rating. If it's not a high rating, give us a rating we deserve. But we identify as 5-star raters, rated podcast. That's why those are our pronouns.
That's podcast of all time. That's how we identify.
That's why we identify. So this is something that I wanted to bring up. One, Darren, you touched on it already. It's disgusting. This leveraging the beauty, the true beauty of lives for the opportunity for political agenda. And then that leveraging gets heavier when it's the lives of children. Yep. Because of the precious nature of a child. But then it's not consistent because you have, you know, all the different statistics come out. I read one article that said the U.S. has surpassed 39,000 deaths from gun violence per year since 2014. And this is according to data from Gun Violence Archive.
It's deaths from gun violence. That's interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Let me pull this up. You don't have to share it. I'm just looking here. Here we go. Total number of deaths each year surpassed. Down from 2016, 2017, and 2018, when the total number of deaths each year surpassed 50,000, there were 44,310 such deaths in 2022. Now, quick sidebar is so that we got 44,310 deaths in 2022. We've done this on an episode before, but approximately, how many guns exist in this country?
I'd say over 300 million.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
I'm just going to assume, half of the country owns two guns.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a, I'm trying to find it, but oh man, that didn't post. But in 2020, there was a I forget the name of the group, but this was reported on thattrace.org or the Trace on thetrace.org, and there was a gun group. I forget the name of the group. I'll post the link, but they reported that the estimated total number of overall firearms in civilian possession is 433 million. Mm. 433 million.
That's a beautiful thing.
Now, 433 million guns, and you have 44,000 gun-related deaths in 2022. So that means that 0.0091% use of all guns in the country for this tragedy. Mm-hmm. And then the people say, well, you're getting down to the numbers and that's just, it's inconsiderate. It's lacking compassion. And you know what? To a certain extent, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. But let me give a quick example. Let's say that we're walking down the street and a car swerves and jumps the curb and it hits a woman. And this woman is unconscious. And we start caring for the woman because This is a human life here. She needs to be cared for. And then someone comes running down the sidewalk yelling, they're attacking everyone with the cars. They're attacking everyone with the cars. Somebody needs to shut that person up. Because what's going to happen is they're going to get somebody killed out here.
Yeah.
Creating hysteria where there is none.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reality. Cars go off road. Cars hit people. People die.
Yeah.
We can admit that. It's a broken, torn, sinful, dying world. Mm-hmm. It happens. As a matter of fact, it could have well been that this one person did run this person down intentionally.
Yeah.
But now you are creating hysteria that can cause more harm. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be met with facts, logic, and a brain that works. That's why these things are necessary. And you have to get down to numbers. Because people are creating this hysteria. If you knew how many guns were being owned and the lack of use that happens, that's the only thing. Numbers can't report a lack of something.
Right, yeah, yeah.
We can do it statistically like I just did.
You just look at the displacement.
I just wanted to share that. And I'll go through some other things at the end. But I'll end it with this. In 2020, we are comparing the number we're at now with 44,000 gun deaths. In 2020 alone, there were 930,000 abortions.
Hmm.
Now, you could say like apples and oranges, and those are different circumstances, right? But the number of 44,000 gun deaths is a number that will be reported solemnly by the left, right? Solemnly by those who just want something done because our children are dying. Meanwhile, the 930,000 number
celebrated.
Is celebrated.
Yeah.
That's different.
They have marches.
They've marched to make that number higher.
Yeah.
That's different.
The same people that are in the March for Our Lives are also in the Women's March for Abortion.
That's right.
How does that? It doesn't compute.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to answer that question. They just get mad at you.
Yeah.
Or they just don't talk about it.
Right. I do want to play this quick clip. I want to play this quick clip. This is from Warrior Poet.
Mm-hmm.
You told me about this. Let me try to find it. Here we are here. And this is in relation to the same thing we just said. This is a broken record. We need gun reform. Why do we need gun reform? Why are the people on TV weeping? Well, because our children are dying, guys. Mm-hmm. Our children are dying. And so, well, look, in the meantime, let's get some armored security officers there. Oh, we don't want security officers in school with our children.
Mm.
Let's see what Warrior Poet has to say about this same report from the National tragedy.
Now, before I let you off, there's all kinds of stuff I could continue to say about this video and about the event in general, but just, hey, how do we make sure this stuff doesn't happen anymore? We found out after the fact that the killer bypassed a different school because it had too much security. Bad guys or bad gals in this circumstance, they are looking for fish in a barrel. They don't want a difficult fight. They want easy. They want to terrorize. That's why 96% of all mass killer events happen in gun-free zones. If it's not a gun-free zone, they're going to find a gun-free zone. And so you understand, really discerning people understand the gun control argument doesn't really understand what's going on.
There's nothing more to really talk about with that. That's why it just has. The opponents have to shout louder.
Yeah.
Just
realize you've been manipulated. You've been tricked. I mean, it's just realize that. That's it. I mean, that's just, you know.
Give a quick context of who Warrior Poet is.
A Warrior Poet is a former Army Ranger. He's a Christian, and his YouTube channel is about. Lately, it's actually been about more spiritual defense than actual, tactical defense. But he's a tactical arms instructor. Mm. He teaches men and women in Georgia how to train with firearms. I think he also teaches Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He's a tactical instructor. He's a Christian, and he believes, just like Christian men should, that men and women should be protectors of the faith and protectors in arms against people who are vulnerable.
Yeah.
And he just, he talks about, you know, I think he doesn't really, he's not like a provocative guy. He just talks about, you know, from his experience as an Army Ranger, all of his tactical training. He also talks, you know, biblically about what's right, what isn't, and the things that are going on in the country that he's observing.
So what were you saying? You were commenting on what he just said.
Security guards. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, one of the things, I mean, I can understand completely people who don't like guns.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been duped.
Yeah.
You've been duped, and it's intentional. It's not just by mistake. They're on purpose saying words like buzzwords, AR-15, gunmen, all these words to get you to hate firearms, and all of it works in conjunction. Like, they're, you know, they're feminizing men. They are empowering women who can't defend.
Yeah.
they're breaking down the society so that the society has to rely on government and eventually by force. And this is not some kind of conspiracy theory. This is what governments do. This is what they've done all throughout. And that's what they're doing all around the world. We're so privileged to live in this country, but they're doing that in other countries. In our country, our government is saying, hey, we can try this on our people. They're making us hate the one thing that we could, you know, one of the things that threatens them the most. 439 million guns.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's insane for a government to overthrow a country with people with those kind
of
guns.
And a lot of Americans don't realize that globally, this country is a part of the last defense to tyranny. Because even another country can't just stroll up in here.
No.
Because, yeah, you might be able to take down defense systems and things like that, which obviously is not going to be super easy. Give it some time. I've seen these army commercials in my, but then you have to roll up on the citizens.
Yeah.
And the citizens, that's, now we're talking guerrilla.
Yeah.
Militia. Right? it's just not smart.
And just like Warrior Poet said, you know, a terrorist, which is what the girl was, they want fish in a barrel.
That's what they want.
They don't want a secure
area.
And that's important. And what's frustrating to me is that I don't think anyone's moving in either direction.
Yeah.
You have the Republican side where it's, oh, we should just arm. Then do it.
Yeah, right. I know.
And then you have the leftists who are like, no, we don't want our children around more guns. More guns are not the answer. But nothing's happening.
Yeah, right.
Nothing's happening. There are some private schools who are doing what they can do.
Yeah.
But that stuff's expensive.
It is expensive.
Bulletproof windows, all that kind of stuff, I think.
But then there was a school. This was a black private school, wasn't it? And you were talking about...
In Indiana.
Okay, where they had armed teachers. All the teachers are armed.
Yeah.
And the
ones that wanted to be. Yeah.
Yeah, the ones that wanted to be. And you know, that's the thing. We need to leave this so we can go to the next thing. But you said it already. It's just frustrating how... Because of the manipulation that happens on TV, which the White House is not more unified. I don't know if people know that. It's not more unified. It didn't bring any unity. As a matter of fact, it's getting worse because now we're so divided in different things. But what happens is these tragedies happen. Your TV tells you how to think and then how to view your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And you go out and do it. So now you have law-abiding citizens who have firearms, and you hate them. Mm-hmm. And now they're the issue. And now they're the ones that's holding us back. And now whenever children are dying, they can't mourn. You can't mourn together because now your mourning involves you targeting them and slandering them. And, you know, all of that stuff builds up, man. By the way, the majority of those gun deaths were due to suicide.
Yeah.
But we won't talk about COVID anymore.
No.
So let's move on. Let's move on. It was 2020.
Yeah, man.
That was the numbers. It was 2020's numbers.
Yeah. Oh, man. COVID. And you know they always could, you know, they, you know, not everything's a mass shooting, guys.
No.
I mean, but what I mean by that is not everything is classified as a mass shooting that should be.
That should be.
You talking about gang violence?
Yeah, gang violence, yeah.
Nobody talks about that.
Nobody talks about
it. Because it ain't
can't
it.
Touch it. Yeah. That's not a narrative.
That's black people killing black people.
Yeah, it's not about the narrative.
Don't care about that.
And nobody's going to march for that either.
Nah.
That's just no one's going to march
that's just
for that.
Them doing what they do, man.
Yeah, the mud sills.
Yeah.
Mud sills of society.
goodness.
I told myself I wasn't going to get angry in this episode. All right. All right, let's talk about some racism. Iowa in a championship against a historically black college. Oh, wait, no. It's LSU. Right. It's LSU, a predominant major university in the country.
Yeah.
And somehow in this championship and turned into a black-white thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that both people, both representatives, I'm not talking about these people, but I think both sides are stupid.
Yeah.
I think that I wasn't paying attention in real time. I only read about this.
I've only seen one side.
Really? Well, what have you seen?
I mean,
oh, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess I've seen people proactively defending. Can't remember her name.
Reese, is that her name?
Yeah, Reese.
Reese something.
Reese. Oh, I'm messing your name up. The girl from Baltimore.
Who's she's LSU. From B-more?
She's from Randallstown. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the girl that goes to LSU.
I knew she said she had some hood.
Yeah,
she had some hood in her voice.
The thing
okay,
is, though,
okay.
Like, I hear everyone proactively defending her. I haven't heard anybody like, well, you know, the girl from Iowa is really good, too. Like, I haven't heard that.
Well,
like,
no, it started. You know, I don't know how it started, but I do know that I've seen tweets from people who were doing the opposite to Reese. Where they're like, this is classless. People even going so far as, this is the most disgusting. You're a classless piece of S, you know, type of stuff. Tweeting about
Twitter.
Her.
Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, Twitter. Twitter being Twitter. Yeah, right. And then, so, you know, Twitter. Yeah, like you said, Twitter being Twitter. But then, you know, yeah, all the talking and stuff like that has to turn into white versus black. And meanwhile, this is hooping. It's ball. It's basketball. It's sports.
Yeah, I don't understand that, man.
If you don't understand what we're talking about and you're not watching the thing on YouTube, this episode on YouTube, then basically, I forget the other girl's name.
That fast.
Yeah, I know. That's bad. Crazy. We're doing a bad job.
I know.
Right now.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Just look at that. We'll tell her name. But the white girl from Iowa, their star player, in the game before the national championship, did this kind of move that a wrestler does that means basically I'm untouchable. You can't see me. I'm invincible.
Caitlin Clark is Iowa.
Caitlin Clark. She did that
and
move.
Angel Reese from
and
LSU.
And Angel Reese did the same thing when LSU won the game.
Yeah.
Competitors.
Yeah.
Ballers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it turned into this white-black thing where everybody's, you know, even one thing, I did see an interview with Angel Reese, and she played into it a bit where it's like, you know, people tell me all the time that I'm too hood, I'm this, they don't like the way I look. Or something like, I mean, who's walking up to you saying this, baby girl? Is somebody saying that? You need to tell your brothers or somebody. Like, who's doing that? Who's walking up to you doing that? I get the innuendos.
Yeah.
Right? I get the backwards compliments.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You're pretty good
at
basketball.
We got them, man. We got them. Oh, wow. You play with those nails?
Yeah.
Your hair doesn't get in your face?
But what were you about to say? What are you going to say?
Nah, I was just saying that, you know, what's the girl's name? The track?
Sha'Carri Richardson.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's hood.
Are they lying? You don't see anybody else on the track like that.
Yeah.
So obviously you stand out.
Yeah, right.
You stand out. It's not rare to see a black girl on the track, right? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of other black girls on that track.
Yeah.
But your fingernails are 3 inches long. You got eyelashes.
You got
blonde long hair. You wearing a very different track outfit.
Mm-hmm.
You talk trash in the camera. You throwing up gang signs. People are going to go,
Yeah. But that's not what she did.
No. Angel Reese isn't doing that. Right. But once again, you stand out.
She's from West Baltimore, though. Shout out
because
to
because you are a good basketball player, mm-hmm. black woman at LSU, which is not a black school.
No.
You're at LSU. You're dominant. You're in the championship.
Yeah.
Just like Caitlin stands out. But guess what? She's just a normal looking white girl who's good.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing. You know, it's also noted that the difference is this. which I still don't have a problem with it. But the difference is Caitlyn did this move in general.
Yeah, yeah.
To the whole team.
To the whole team.
You know, you did it to the whole team. It wasn't against LSU. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even against them. But then Angel Reese did it directly to Caitlyn. I mean, you've seen the video where it's like she was making sure she saw her. Mm-hmm. You know, she's making sure, like, hey, look, we're getting this ring, and she's about to come up to her on the side, be like, oh yeah, you can't see me. But that's sports. That's just sports. That's just the way it goes.
And like I was saying earlier before we started, I'm like, and this is probably the most competitive basketball they'll play.
Yeah.
The NCAA championship. Pride in your school, pride in everything. I mean, all that.
And they both big upped each other.
Yeah, they really did.
They did. I mean,
what they're not going to talk about.
Yeah, right. They're not going to talk about that. Angel Reese says she has respect for Caitlyn. Caitlyn says she has respect for Angel. They're competitors.
Right.
They're ballers.
Right.
I mean, if y'all want to fight for equality, here's a moment where you can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not catty
when
men do it. Mm-hmm. So let's not do it catty now. But you got Jemele Hill, who's all on Twitter. You know what, Jemele Hill? I used to like her.
Who's that?
She was on there with I think his name was something, Michael Smith. I forget their show. It might have been Get Up. It wasn't Get Up. I forget. ESPN. But now she's just straight up, you know, blacktivist. And it's just, it's annoying. It's very annoying.
Joe Biden got caught up in the woke. We don't have that, do we?
No, we don't have it.
He got caught up.
No, Jill, his wife, did.
What'd she do?
What were you about to say?
No, what you about to say? Go ahead.
Say it. Well, Joe Biden. So here's the thing. This is what I pointed out. That this was the most watched women's basketball game of all time.
Right.
I can't remember if it's all time or if collegiate, but it was the most watched. And so I'm thinking that, you know, what's trending is women are better than men or over men, you know, everything else until a man decides to be a woman. And then I think that's what she was caught up in. Like, man, this is empowering. Mm. This is the moment. So now, which I think is very stupid. So this is what she tweeted. I'm going to invite both teams.
Oh, that's what I was getting at. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Both. Now,
Joe Biden shared the same tweet. I guess it was her tweet, but she just shared it.
Both teams are welcome to the White House. And boy, did they jump on that.
Since when is a loser invited to the White House? Yeah, they only doing that because the black girl.
That's exactly.
She's not the only person on the team. And it's not a black school. Hey, look, it ain't Howard University versus Iowa.
Yeah, I know.
What are they doing?
But still, that was stupid.
You don't invite the loser.
You don't invite the losers, man. The
loser don't come. But now, they got caught up. How do you play? Because the woke movement is so inconsistent.
Yeah, you gotta get your
Do we
moment.
Empower the women?
That's right.
Do we get the women their moment?
Yeah, right.
Or do we do the racism?
Yeah,
do
right.
Do we do the race thing?
Do we do the race thing, yeah.
Hey, white girl, take the back seat for this black girl.
Right.
There's other white girls on that team.
Right.
It's LSU.
Now, I wonder if there was another star player on Iowa who had a stronger pigmentation in the darker hue. Mm. And then they invited both teams.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would have.
Black girl magic. Black girl magic.
I wonder if that would have changed anything. But I'm just sick of everything being about race. Mm-hmm. But everybody needs their moment, right? Everybody's a race hustler. Colin Kaepernick is still dumb. He's mad at his very loving and kind parents for doing to him what every loving and kind parent did for their child. Mm-hmm. Kept them away from looking like an idiot.
First of all, I'm mad that we know about it.
I know.
What a stupid story.
Y'all need to go to dinner or something.
Story.
You need keep to go
that
to dinner
story away. Talk.
Okay, that's we got to keep going. So Rosario Butterfield, author, professor, Christian, and former activist of LGB, back when it was just the LG and the B. But then even so, she, as a Christian, still had an activism with it, but not condoning it. But doing something very popular. And I just want to read what she posted. She posted this in a blog called Revolution 21, I believe. Reformation 21. And this is what she said. Civil war erupted within broad evangelicalism, and the idol of LGBTQ plus is dividing the house. This issue is personal, political, and spiritual for me. In 1998, I became one of the first crop of so-called tenured radicals in American universities proudly touting my lesbian street cred. In 1999, Christ called me to repentance and belief, and I became a despised defector of the LGBTQ plus movement. But progressive sanctification claims came slowly, and I have failed many times during these past decades. After I have learned lessons, I have earnestly tried to course correct, and that's the problem. My use of transgendered pronouns was not a mistake. It was sin. Public sin requires public repentance, not course correction. I have publicly sinned on the issue of transgender pronouns, which I have carelessly used in books and articles. I have publicly sinned by advocating for the use of transgender pronouns in interviews and public Q&As. Why did I do this? I have a bunch of lame and backside covering excuses. Here are a few. It was a carryover from my gay activist days. I wanted to meet everyone where they were and do nothing to provoke insult. When the Supreme Court decided in favor of gay marriage, the danger of my position started to come into focus. The codification of gay marriage and LGBTQ plus civil rights launched a collision course between LGBTQ plus and the Christian faith. The LGBTQ plus movement's understanding of itself as ontological and morally good conflicts with the biblical account in Genesis 1:27. Which is it? Which side was I on? Is LGBTQ plus a normal option in the ever-expanding menu of sexual orientation and gender identity, needing a little Jesus to aid human flourishing? Or does LGBTQ plus come from Satan as a reflection of the world, the flesh, and the devil? Is it part of God's creational design or rebellion against the creation ordinance? It's one or the other, because the Christian faith is inherently binary, not non-binary. And getting this wrong is not a matter of personal liberty. How is using transgender pronouns sinful, you might ask? Using transgender pronouns is a sin against the Ninth Commandment and encourages people to sin against the Tenth Commandment. Using transgender pronouns is a sin against the creation ordinance. Using pronouns is a sin against image bearing. It discourages a believer's progressive sanctification and falsifies the gospel. It cheapens redemption and it tramples on the blood of Christ. It fails to love my neighbor as myself. It fails to offer genuine Christian hospitality, instead yields the definition of hospitality to liberal communitarianism, identity politics, and human flourishing, quote unquote. Using transgendered pronouns isn't a sin because the times have changed, and therefore using transgender pronouns isn't a sinful today, but a morally acceptable option in 2012. Wait. Using transgender pronouns isn't sinful today, but a morally acceptable option in 2012. I wonder, is that when this was written? No, heck no. Not at all. That's just a typo. She says, sin is sin. The Bible defines this as sin. Sin does not lose its evil because of our good intentions or the personal sensibilities of others. Changing cultural forces can bring sin into fresh light, as the Supreme Court's Obergefell decision did for me. But a renewed focus is no excuse for sin and no dodge for repentance, not for a real Christian. I repent. The broad evangelical church disagrees with how I paint this picture. And so she goes on to name some people. Mark Yarhouse, Preston Sprinkle. I've heard these names. I haven't actually read their books, but I've heard these names. And the reason I was hesitant to read their books had nothing to do with their names. I don't know their names. But the reason I didn't read their books is because I was sick of reading books. I was sick of reading books on homosexuality. Mm-hmm. I'm not arrogantly speaking. I've grasped it all. I don't need to know the ins and out of homosexuality and how it works. I need to know what the scriptures teach, and I want to know the person I'm talking to.
Right.
That's it. That's it. Because the rest is up to my obedience and the faith in the Holy Spirit's guidance. Mm-hmm. I don't need to know all the statistical ins and outs of these things. There's something she says in that blog, and she says this, and man, it hits home. She says that Christians need to learn to love their enemy, mm-hmm. not pretend their enemy is their friend.
Yikes.
This is what happens when the Lord sanctifies his people. Mm-hmm. That sanctification process is a convicting process for the rest of the church.
Right.
Watching the people who are saying that, look, no, I'm nicer. I'm nicer, and this is the way we're nice. This is the way you be loving. It's like, no, you're actually leading them towards hell.
Right.
It's a lie. It's not true. And then the world says, hey, if you tell them the truth, that's not kind. And then we say, oh, okay. No, I don't need to listen to you.
Right.
I've got marching orders already. But yeah, I was very encouraged by that blog. I was very encouraged by that blog. And I hope that you were too, listening. I hope you guys were too. And because there's a lot of confusion. God's not a God of confusion. But there's a lot of confusion about how to use it. And it's like, well, it's your preference, you know. You can use the pronouns or you don't use it. And my answer isn't that that's my preference. Mm-hmm. I prefer to call you by your biological sex. Like, no. That's not it. I prefer to obey the Lord and not lie. I also prefer to not codify this harmful, toxic mentality that you have.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. And I also prefer to trust the working of the Holy Spirit in me to not be a brash, loveless, harsh individual towards people, even though people will say that's who I am because I'm not using pronouns. I trust that I'm not that person. I trust that the Lord would yoke me up if I actually was that person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to continue on with this here reality. Yeah. Did you have anything on that at all? Or we can move to Donald Trump and wrap up.
I had a thought.
Yeah.
When you talked about, loving your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Like today, nobody can be your enemy.
Mm-mm.
Nobody. And the reality is that we were all enemies of God.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that should be so clear to Christians.
That's right.
Either it's clear to you or you're probably not a Christian.
Mm.
You've probably never really been convicted or you've never really thought about this. I mean,
yeah.
Never really understood God's word, what that means to be enemies of God.
Right. That's how we know he loves us.
Right. Right. But another thing. For every other mass shooting up until this point, there's been some talk of mental illness.
Yeah.
Not a peep of mental illness.
Oh, you back in Nashville.
Yeah. I mean, she's talking about transgender.
I got you. Yeah, she took you there. Yeah, no, there's
that
no
one talk of mental illness. Talk. But that brings us to this next point. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Brandon Tatum, who was saying that people always say, oh, what will possess somebody to do this? Hello? He said, hello? What else can possess you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He said, I'm over this mental illness stuff.
Yeah.
I'm over that. Everybody got some mental illness. No, everybody's the devil. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs saving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah. There isn't, nobody has, you know, this immunity to evil.
Mm-hmm. We're prone to it.
Right.
We thrive on it. We thirst and hunger
for it. We don't
get
to decide what's more evil. What's more evil than the next?
Right.
We don't get to decide that. We don't get to, you know, just shrug things off as some kind of mental disorder and then give someone a round piece of candy and say, oh, you're cured.
Yeah.
No, there is a cure. There is a cure.
There is a cure, yeah.
It comes from a doctor.
You know, also, we addressed it a little bit already, but the fact that this was an attack. Oh, that's what I meant to get. Okay, now we're going to end up sharing something. Now we're going to share something. I'm about to pull this up. I didn't even plan for this, but this just popped up as we were preparing this episode. So
I'm not sharing it.
No, I'm sharing it. I got a new toy. Where did I go? Here. So, this just came out today. This happened today. Transgender suspect with communist manifesto arrested for planning shootings at schools, churches.
Wow.
Yeah. This is the Daily Wire. I saw this. Law enforcement officials in Colorado have arrested a transgender individual with a communist manifesto for allegedly planning mass shootings at schools and churches in the area. News of the arrest was made public on Thursday afternoon, but the arrest happened on March 31st, just a few days after a transgender terrorist massacred six people, including three children, at a private Christian school in Nashville. So I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but you know, look that up for people who don't know. I imagine now it's there, but yeah. So what we're seeing is evil. Mm-hmm. It's evil. It's people who are empty vessels of evil and empty vessels for evil.
Right.
They are rotten from the inside out. From in iniquity they were conceived, as we all were.
Right.
The Christian knows most what it's like to be, because we too were children of wrath, obeying our first Lord, who's not the true Lord. And so, going back to Rosario, we're doing a little ping pong here because that statement is so powerful. What does it look like to actually love your enemy? What does it look like for you to tell the truth to somebody because you love them? Then they actually do slander you, and then you call them tomorrow. That's the difference. They can ignore you, but I bet you they don't have people like that in their lives.
Right.
I know they don't. See, this is what we got a fan of ours on Instagram. If you follow us on Instagram, there's a friend. There's a friend. And I think about her. I think about Amber often.
Mm-hmm.
I pray for her. But she's always on our posts. And she's always hitting us with some type of snide remark or whatever, slanderous thing. And we've actually had her on the podcast before.
Yeah.
We've had her on the comment section because of that same thing. I saw her on Instagram and I saw her wailing away at other people. I sent her a personal message and I said, hey, you seem upset. This is weird. You don't know me, mm-hmm. but would you want to talk? And from that point on, I've only told her the truth. I've only told her the truth, and yet she hasn't unfollowed.
Yeah.
That's not to say, oh, see, we're doing something right, but it's to say this notion that if you tell someone the truth in following the Lord, you lack a belief that he's actually good.
Right.
See, even if people can reject the idea of Christianity, the Lord is actually still good.
Mm-hmm.
And so people experience that from his body, his children, his bride. And there's something about it that it's like, man, I want that still.
Yeah.
And then some people taste it and it's a disgusting fragrance. And it's like, get that away from me. Mm-hmm. The Lord will oblige them in his judgment. Okay, let's end. Donald Trump. It's not going to be long. You got any thoughts on Donald Trump? Donald Trump got arrested. It's a big deal, I think. It's not a big deal because it's Donald Trump. But
it sets the precedent for, I mean, if they can do something like this to the president of the United States,
yeah,
it's setting a standard for what the government, our government, is willing to do to everyday citizens.
That's exactly right. It actually pairs, for me, it pairs with the Nashville thing. The Nashville thing shows that our mainstream media and celebrities and pop culture references of Christians are getting more and more on the Jewish and Germany language. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That language is getting there. And now Donald Trump is actually the face for these Christian, ugly, nationalist, white supremacists, because everybody's white. And if you're black, you're just a white supremacist adjacent.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever. And so it makes it justifiable for me to hate you and come and shoot and kill you.
Yeah.
It's that simple, actually. I think that people need to wake up and see how this is happening. The ground had to be fertile,
yeah,
for the concentration camps. You don't get to just build them from jump. The ground had to be fertile. The fertilizer had to be laid down. And the fertilizer is propaganda. Mm-hmm. It's propaganda. And we've had propaganda for a long time. And I think this is a big deal in that our government is weaponizing itself in different arms of the government illegally and going through these proceedings that are like a sham. I think it's disgusting that this is all about an actual thing, that he had an affair with this porn star and then she became famous. It's all disgusting,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
What was I about to say? But he can't, Yeah. But the charges that are trumped up, which are like, what, 35 or something like that? 34? It just seems like a sham. And it is a sham, really. It is a sham. Just like all the other things that were going on throughout his entire presidency, really.
Yeah.
And nothing was done about it. So that's a big deal. It's a big deal that the stuff that came out about actual collusion with Russia that had nothing to do with Donald Trump, but it had to do with the Clintons.
Yeah.
Nothing was done. It's a big deal that Hunter Biden has, nothing has happened about that.
Yeah.
They're just memes, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's just memes, but nothing has happened. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is arraigned and arrested. So this is a big deal. I get mad when people kind of look at this, like the citizens are looking at this and, you know, they root for it. Yay.
I know.
Because I hate Donald Trump. You have no idea what you're doing is you're rooting for your own demise.
Yeah.
This is tyranny.
Right.
I don't care who it's happening to. I don't care what color tie they wear. You should hate this.
Mm-hmm.
This is terrible. Thomas Sowell had an interesting tweet. I think I might try to share this too. This is what Thomas Sowell said. Some Americans will never appreciate America until after they have helped destroy it and have then begun to suffer the consequences. I think that sums it up. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Right? It's a lot of very ignorant, emotionally unstable, mentally unstable people.
I know.
Who are, you know, pushing the society to where it is today. And it's sad. It's very sad to see. We need believers. We need the church. I need the church to be valiant. Not valiant as in, like, everything's going to be okay because you're coming to rescue. But valiant and like, oh, man, this is what we're made for.
Mm-hmm.
The world is crumbling before our eyes and people don't want to walk on that territory because they might get hurt. Seems like good territory for the sheep to walk in.
Right. We already have a trailblazer.
Yeah. It's a good territory for the sheep to walk in. But, yeah. That's it. That's it. I'll end this. I'll end this. You can share it. I'll just put it on here. Because it's Easter, which is the biggest deal. It's very fitting as well. It is very fitting.
Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah, Resurrection Sunday. It is. Yeah. I mean, I don't really care. It's all the same to me. Resurrection Sunday is a big deal. Because all the things that we're seeing in the world is a result of a dying world. A dying world that's dying because sin has entered into it. Sin has entered into it because God's rebellious creature rebelled against him. Breaking the relationship between he and creature and the relationship between creature and creature. That's us and creation. And we see that all today, everywhere. We see it in the world today. And there is hope in the midst of that. You're looking at everything else and you're saying, oh, what's going to happen? Or how do I do this? What's going to happen with my kids? Where are my kids going to go to school? Teachers are out here trying to kidnap my kids' minds.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What's going to happen? And though things may be worse on earth, it won't stay that way. It won't stay that way. I like using this passage for resurrection because it gives Old Testament context. And in this context, we show the cosmic warfare that's happening here. And Jesus wins. Jesus wins. I'm going to read Psalm 82. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men you shall die and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. I'm not going to go into depth right now as we close out, but that's just a precursor to the rising of God to judge the earth and inherit the nations. And so that's what the Christian does. And I pray that that's what we would continue to do. Let's do what Rosaria Butterfield said. Let's love our enemies. They're enemies. Love them. Stop pretending they're your friend. Thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of Black and Blurred, where you're guaranteed to hear one of two things: a humble opinion
or the facts.
Holler at us.